Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. It is in your bulletin, kind of on the top of the bulletin that you have. It says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. For the next few weeks, I'd like to tell you about the remarkable story of a woman named Ruth. It is a story of God's faithfulness. Her story is recorded in the Bible between the books of Judges and 1 Samuel. And if you get the chance and you've never done it sometime within the next month as we're going through this, you may want to sit down and read through it. Read through this wonderful story. It's a beautiful account of God and His faithfulness and His redemptive power. And there are many lessons of eternal significance that can be found as you read through that. So what I want to do then is today and for the next, well, we'll take a break for Father's Day, but for the next three lessons that we have in here, times that we have in here, I want to take us through the book of Ruth. It's only four chapters long, and do that. And there are several major themes that can be found throughout the book of Ruth. And they challenge us to have this greater faithfulness in our walk with the Lord. And they encourage us of God's faithfulness toward us. A few of these themes that we will discover are love, character and integrity, prosperity and blessing, protection, grace, and redemption. And as these themes are discovered in the book of Ruth, we'll learn how they can be present in our lives as we see God's faithfulness and His love and His grace at work in the life of Ruth. Today, I'd like to talk about the Velcro effect and begin by looking in the book of Ruth and reading chapter 1. And what I want to do for you is I want to read through the entire chapter now, and you can open your Bibles if you want, or just kind of sit there and listen. We'll have a little bit of story time. And I want to read through the whole chapter for you and see if I can do this. Side note, here's my mind. The print gets smaller and smaller every year. I think my Bible is shrinking a little bit. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were, Ephratites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other named Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of His people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." At this, they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. go back with her. But Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women exclaimed, can this be Naomi? Don't call me Naomi, she told him. Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. And I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call my name? Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. That is the first chapter. Hopefully inside your bulletin, you had one of these, an insert. You're welcome to fill it in if you would like to. And we will continue going through Ruth chapter 1. In this chapter, there is illustrated very effectively something that can be called the Velcro effect. I think most of you probably know what Velcro is, and many of you have probably already used it, but maybe you don't know how it was invented. In 1948, a Swiss mountaineer, his name was George de Mestral, was walking through the woods, and he was getting very frustrated by all the burrs that kept sticking to his clothes. While picking them off, he realized that it may be possible to use this principle to make a fastener that would compete with the zipper. Velcro was inspired by the natural properties of burrs. If you look at a Velcro strip, you'll notice that there are two parts. There's the first part, which has a tiny web of hooks. And there's the second part, which is another web of a bunch of loops. And when you push the two of those together, the hooks catch on the loops and they form a strong bond that is very hard to take apart. That is the Velcro effect. And that is a term that I believe describes the relationship between God's faithfulness to us and our need for Him. We can understand this concept better when we look at Ruth chapter 1. Here we learn of God's covenant faithfulness, which still operates in the life today of believers. You see, the backdrop to the book of Ruth is the time known as the Judges. And Ruth 1:1, the very first part, it says, in the days when the judges ruled. Doesn't that just sound like the beginning of an epic or something like that? In the days when judges ruled. I just imagine some great big thing going on. The days of judges, they were quite different than the days of conquest and occupation of the promised land under Joshua. He had led the nation of Israel into quick and sweeping victories against all the foes of the land. The days of judges, though, are known as the dark ages in Hebrew history. Two phrases characterize the days of the judges. The first is, did not drive out. And that is, if you look in Judges chapter 1, verses 27 through 36, it talks a lot about the Israelites' incomplete conquest of the land, how they did not drive them out. They just pushed their foes back far enough where they thought they would not be a threat any longer. The second phrase is, in those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. And that's Judges 17:6. After Joshua's death, the people turned to do evil in the sight of the Lord, and they served the foreign gods of the lands that they were in. The point is that you cannot divorce the book of Ruth from the book of Judges, because the book of Judges provides the entire backdrop for the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth is kind of zooming in one spot in the book of Judges. So, if we had read through the book of Judges, What would we have learned? Well, we would have learned that this was a time of moral and spiritual disaster for the people of God. In fact, the book of Judges, if you read through it, it ends with this quote. Judges chapter 21, verse 25, here's what it says. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Every person did what was right in their own eyes. In other words, they did what felt right to them. Not what was right, it just felt right. You see, there was no greater moral compass for the people to turn to for guidance. They had no leader. In other words, you might think of it like today. Many people today live with this idea that whatever you do is fine as long as it doesn't hurt anyone else. Isn't that a lot like saying, why don't you just do what is right in your eyes as long as it doesn't hurt anyone else? If we took the time to study the book of Judges, we might change just a little bit. Let's tweak that just a little bit. Whatever you do is fine as long as it doesn't appear to hurt anyone else. You see, what we learn from the book of Judges is that moral and spiritual bankruptcy affects the entire community. In other words, when one person is sinful and drifts away from God, if one person is struggling, if one person has something going on, it affects all of us. Sure, it may seem like it doesn't, but either directly or indirectly, when something happens to one of us, it affects all of us. The hard word, bottom line, here you go. Whatever you do isn't fine because your sin affects all of us. Nonetheless, that is what takes place in the book of Judges. The people of God began to sin and drift away from Him. As a result, God allows them to suffer the consequences for their actions. And these dark days are characterized by what has become known as the sin cycle. There is the sin of apostasy, which is turning away from God, abandoning God, and serving other things. And then there is kind of the judgment or the consequences of those sins. And then the people, realizing where they're at, they cry out to God, they give supplication to God to deliver them, to bring them back. And they have salvation through a judge that is provided for them to get back up in a relationship with God, to start all over the sin of apostasy, turning away from God, realizing that they're being judged and consequences of their sin. And there's this cycle that the people would go through. And this is the whole backdrop for the book of Ruth. And that's the scenario in which we find the book of Ruth written. They were dark, dark days. But like today, God would prove His faithfulness in the trying times of life. These were days of terrible bitterness. Well, let's go back. Times of famine. In Ruth chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. Israel was experiencing a famine of food that was caused by the faithlessness to the covenant that the people had with God. So in judgment and the consequences of their sin, God has turned them over to their enemies, most likely the Midianites. These were probably the days just before God would raise up a judge, say Gideon, a judge like Gideon. And Gideon would come to deliver the people. So Elimelech, he moves his family across to the country of Moab. It was in the land of Moab where Elimelech dies, leaving his wife and her two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And they had taken Moabite wives, Orpah and Ruth. And then in a total span of 7 years, now Mahlon and Chilion dies. And Naomi is left with her two daughter-in-laws with nobody to help them. There's no help in sight. Naomi changes her names, and we'll talk about it a little bit later on. She changes her name to Mara, which means bitter, because she sees all this taking place and she blames God. She says, God is punishing me because of what I've done. God is mad at me. But God would prove Himself faithful to sustain and provide for her. Let's pick up again in verse 6. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left that place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. These verses tell us that in the middle of this sin cycle, the people were crying out to God for deliverance, and God, in his faithfulness, he rises up another judge to throw off the oppression of the Midianites, and he brought an end to the famine. Why is it that we often trust in ourselves to handle life's trials when the truth is we should really be relying upon God? Well, as it was in the days of Ruth, it is also important for us to know that our God is faithful to deliver us if we will only turn to him. The wonderful thing about God's faithfulness is that he is faithful even when we are not. But the crux of the matter, the whole idea behind it all, is that we will only recognize and experience his faithfulness if we are seeking after God. The situation looked bleak. Naomi and Ruth and Orpah, they have no husbands to provide for them. And Naomi, knowing that the land, the famine was over in Judah, she's going back home. I've done my time. I've been here. Things aren't any better here. Why do we always think the grass is going to be greener somewhere else? So Elimelech takes his family away and grass is going to be greener. It wasn't any better. So Naomi is going home. She also knows that her daughter-in-laws will be treated as outsiders. So she encourages them, go back to your people. Your people will help to take care of you. Let's pick it up in verse 8 again. Then Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, go back each of you to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. Then she kissed them and they wept aloud. And she said to her, we will go back with you to your people. But Naomi said, return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? And so she goes on with this thing of, no, go ahead and go home. Go ahead and go home. Verse 14 says, at this is when she encourages them again. Orpah agrees to this. At this, they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. So the choices are made. They make choices. Notice that although Orpah joined Ruth at the beginning of all this and suggested that, no, we're going to stick with you. All three of us will go back to your land. Orpah later decides to go back to her people. Orpah chose to return to her people and her gods after having been married to a Hebrew husband who would surely have told her and introduced her to the God of Abraham. How easily it is for people to return to their old habits, to their old way of life, even after meeting the Son of God, Jesus Christ. How many times have people played the part of Orpah, kissing and leaving to go back to the gods that we served before we knew the one true God? Many times, it is a tragedy or tough times that lead people to forsake Christ, to turn their back on him, to leave what they have gained. And it is a tragedy that this happens, because the truth of it is only God who can help them and give them the hope that they need. Have you ever heard this from someone? Listen to this. If this is what happens to Christians, I don't want any part of it. If this is what happens to Christians, if this is how Christians are treated, I don't want any part of it. Verse 14. At this, they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. Listen to this, though. But Ruth clung to her. You see, Ruth had a resolve about her. I believe she had heard and believed in the God of her mother-in-law and was not about to turn back from following her mother-in-law or after following the God of Abraham, the God that she'd come to know. So even after the insistence of Naomi, Ruth declares that she's not going to leave. You see, Ruth exhibited faith where logic left off. Logic says, if you go back with Naomi, you're going to be treated as an outsider. You'll be an outcast the whole time you're there, and you will have nobody to take care of you. Logic says, go back to your people, go back to your home. Somebody there will take you in. Somebody else will care for you. Your family is there. But her faith, the faith that she had in the God of Abraham, said, no, go to Judah. Stay with Naomi. Ruth's clinging to Naomi is what God desires of you and of me in our relationship to Him, especially in those tough times. And this, clinging to God, sticking to God in the tough times, is the Velcro effect. When we cling to God in times of need, He will be faithful, and He will take us into realms where He can best work in our lives and in our situations. 16, verse 16. But Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me ever so severely if anything but death separates you and me. What a great declaration of faith and faithfulness that is. Will we cling to Jesus Christ, our God and our Savior, like Ruth was willing to cling to Naomi? Will we have a resolve just like her that no matter what, we are going to go with God? No matter where we go, no matter where He takes us, we are going to cling to Him and go with Him wherever it is. You see, we are living in a famine today. We are living in a society of faithlessness. And our families, our churches, and our nation need a few faithful souls with the same resolve to cling, just like that of Ruth, the Moabite. Verse 19. So the two women went until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women exclaimed, can this be Naomi? Don't call me Naomi, she told him. Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but I have come back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. So Naomi returns with her daughter, the Moabite, arriving in Bethlehem just as the barley harvest was beginning. So this chapter one ends. Naomi and Ruth have made the journey, and it's a long journey. I looked it up and stuff. They've made the long journey. You have to actually kind of go around a lake, a long journey all the way around. They've made the journey. They get back to Judah at the beginning of the barley harvest. God is preparing to do a mighty work now and in the future through the faithfulness of Ruth. The story of Ruth is a story of God's faithfulness to be working on our behalf no matter what trials or circumstances we are going through. What I want to do this morning is to leave you with the security of God's Word, declaring His faithfulness to you. These are some of the scripture verses. Listen to these. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping His covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love Him and keep His commands. 1 Corinthians 1, 9. God, who has called you into fellowship with His Son Jesus Christ, the Lord, is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so you can stand up under it. 2 Thessalonians 3, 3. But the Lord is faithful, and He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Let's finish off with 1 John 1:9. Listen to this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So today, let us depart this morning from here, not from our faith, but with our faith, knowing that God is working faithfully in whatever circumstance we are in to move us into this realm where He and He alone can bless us. Be faithful this week and cling to the God of your salvation. If you are struggling this morning, I just want to encourage you that God is faithful. He will always be there for you. If you're struggling, the verses are there. They're up here. I read them for you. God is faithful and He's following after you. Let me pray for you as we close and the worship team will come up. Father, just thank you for this beautiful day that you've given to us. Thank you for your faithfulness, which extends generation to generation. And Lord, right now I pray if there is somebody here who is just struggling, this week has been a rough week. This week has been a week of doubt and questioning. I pray that you encourage them, that you let them know that you are faithful, that you are with them and you will never ever leave them, that you love each and every one of us, that you are God and that you will provide. Thank you for Ruth. And as we begin this series and looking at her life and how her and Naomi have made it home, and the barley harvest has started, the famine is over. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.